Evening, everybody. Mayor Rick Moses is attending a class tonight, so I'm going to run the meeting and want to welcome everybody. City of Shore Acres City Council meeting Monday, July 27th, 2015 at 7 p.m. And if y'all would please silence your cell phones or put them on vibrate of some sort, and we'll ring. First order of business is roll call, and Mr. Davis Stahl will be there for that.
All right. Mike Wheeler.
Present.
Richard Adams.
Present.
Rick Moses. Nancy Schnell. Alderman McCallum.
Present.
And Alderman Jennings.
Present.
And item 2.0, Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor of
the flag. Pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
And then item 3.0 is special presentations, and we have Morgan's Point Mayor Michelle Bechtel with us tonight to discuss the coastal barrier system resolution for the Texas Municipal League. And so he's going to give a brief talk, and then I'll entertain any questions or comments from the audience and council afterward.
Good evening, Mayor Pro Tem, council, city administrators, and the public tonight. I'm your neighbor down the road at the east end of the bay. I didn't really come to make a presentation. I would assume that most people are pretty familiar with what we've been talking about, the coastal storm surge protection and what we've been trying to get done. So I think it would be simpler if we just look at the resolution we're looking at tonight. The idea is we're trying to build more statewide support, and this is one step in that. To get there, we need the Texas Municipal League is approximately 1,200 cities, and they have an annual meeting in September 24th, 25th, somewhere right in there, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. And the idea was if we could get a number of our local cities here that have already passed resolutions supporting the coastal storm surge protection barriers, then we could try to get the TML to pass a resolution at their annual conference, and that gives us a little more leverage, let's say, with the state legislators. As part of that also, though, what we put in here, and I had sent the what we have accomplished, the cover sheet that we need for the TML, and there's a key part of it here that really sums it up. The resolution is intended to show statewide support for hurricane storm surge protection by means of a coastal barrier system for the National Strategic Area, meaning the Houston Galveston Ship Channel area, requesting state funding for additional studies and planning, and requesting the entire Texas federal delegation to seek and support federal funding for the design, construction, and maintenance of a coastal barrier system for the Houston Galveston Ship Channel region. A number of us have been to Austin and to Washington pushing for coastal storm surge protection. And on the local level, we just saw the legislative session end with a $209 billion biannual budget. That's $105 billion a year, basically, for the state of Texas. And not one cent, one penny, did our state reps or our state senators come up with for hurricane storm surge, much less, not the infrastructure at all, but much less for studying the issue. Okay. Big disappointment. So the only state dollars that have been expended on the study level, and you had the Texas A&M Galveston carrying the ball on the Ike Dyke, the hurricane storm surge that would protect all of us, And then you had the Rice University S-Speed people that originally proposed the Centennial Gate up at the top, up at Morgan's Point there, and by the Hartman Bridge, which would have really hurt all of us. And then you had the other the other people that are involved in the study portion of it is what they call the DCC PRD, which is basically the six county judges, the six county group. And they're the ones that snagged the only state dollars. They got a $4 million grant from the General Land Office back in 2014. That's the only state money that's been put into any part of the hurricane storm surge study at all. The people that are actually doing work, Texas A&M Galveston, and now the S-Speed people who have teamed up together with one plan. Before we had competing plans. Now there's one plan. But neither of them have gotten any state dollars. Texas A&M had just a normal budgetary funds through the state for their faculty and all, but no additional funding specifically for the barrier studies. We're trying to get to where the George P. Bush at the General Land Office, the new head knocker, took Jerry Patterson's place at the General Land Office. He says he's got some money sitting in the budget that he can probably allocate without legislative direction. So that's the first thing we need to go at, to get some of that for additional funding for the people that are actually doing the work. The dollars that they already put into the system with the county's people is basically grading the paper of the people that have already done the work. It's the alternative study. So they're looking at the guys, the plan for the coastal barrier, the Ike Dike itself, and they're trying to see if there's any other plans that would be better. They ain't going to be none. It's going to be the Ike Dike is what it's going to end up being. One of the things that we've shot down numerous times but keeps coming back up is raising Highway 146. And all of us are on the wrong side of 146.
Amen.
Okay, but that's coming up again because that's an alternative plan that they have to look at. That's what the Dannebaum engineering people are doing right now. Their study, they put out phase one in February of 2015, which basically repeated everything the Texas A&M people have already said. And their final report is going to come out a year from now. Okay. The Corps engineers, on the other hand, they've been studying the entire Texas Gulf Coast. The only dollars they got, and their budget money comes yearly, and it's little bitty pieces. They can't do a big major project like we're talking about. So they had money to do the bookends. They're doing over by Beaumont Port Arthur. They're doing down in Brazos County, Brazoria County, back over here. And the true heart of the whole plan is Galveston Bay. They're not spending any money there because they don't have $10 to $12 million to do that part of the study. They plan on getting it over a number of years. They won't. The Corps won't finish their studies until 2022. Okay, so the clock's ticking on and on and on. Luckily, we're in the longest time period. Since 1850 when they started keeping the records of not having a major storm hit the continental United States. Okay, the last one was actually Wilma. Remember Wilma? It came in after Katrina and Rita. It was October of 2005. That was the last Category 3, 4, or 5 storm that hit the lower 48 states. We're in the longest drought in history right now. So it just pushes the eyes that it's going to get us. It's going to get us. It's coming. So we're just trying to build the support. We got grassroots support with 24 cities. We got 13 community organizations and all signed up with us. We got Harris County Mayors and Council Association. And I guess about 6 months ago, I got the Chambers County mayors. I got all the cities in Chambers County on board with us. And now we're just trying to spread out that support by getting the TML. The other thing we're looking at is the city planners, the Texas chapter of the city planners. That's 2,200 members. That's my next ones to go after. So anybody wants any details as far as the technical stuff we're talking about, I gave you my card. You've got a website on the back of the BACPA handouts and stuff there that you can check into if you got any questions on the technical or any more details. Just as a big arm-waving deal of what we're trying to get past tonight is strictly trying to build more support. Got it. And that's where we are.
Anybody in the audience have any questions or comments? You've got a handout that you can take with you. And how can you be reached, Mayor Bechtel?
I've got some cards here.
Anybody on council have any comments or questions?
Or you can call the city and they can track me down. But if you want one of my cards, call me anytime. If y'all have civic groups or anything like that that wants a real presentation with slides and we do the whole big deal for you, that's no problem. We can do it. The only way we're going to get this thing done is pushing from the bottom, because we don't have a big dog at the top that stepped up yet. We're working on that.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Bechtel. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to agenda item 4.0, approval of minutes 4.1, regular council meeting, June 22nd, 2015. This is the one I think that was postponed from the last meeting. If council's had a chance to review those, I'll entertain a motion.
I have some questions for Mr. Stahl.
Go ahead.
Do you want a motion first?
Do we need a motion for him to ask him?
We should.
Okay.
Do you have a motion first?
Motion. Motion by Alderman Jennings in a second.
Second.
Mr. Wheeler. Okay. Go ahead, Alderman Jennings.
Yeah, Mr. Stahl, a few questions about it. On your heavy trash pickup recap, you put, due to limited funds, we will commit with this vendor only through September 30th, 2015. I'm wondering what that means, because we didn't commit as council. And it's not limited budget funds, it's over budget. So I'm wondering why you worded it that way.
Well, I worded it that way because that's what I said that evening.
Yes, that's what you said. You said I several times. There was no we involved.
That's correct. I'm the city administrator. I'm responsible for day-to-day operations. We have funds for trash collection and for heavy pickup. And I was informing council that we had hit the budgeted amount that was in the heavy pickup, and that we had funds in trash collections that would be available to meet our needs to continue the collection through to the end of this fiscal year.
Okay, and on the property tax collected, the GF report in the packet said there was $833,637.34 collected, and your the minutes use the dispersed total of $857,831.18. Can you tell what is the difference and why the higher number in the minutes?
Well, I don't know. That's the number that the person who typed the minutes put in there, and I did not check that against the financial report. If you have a correction on that number,
then... Well, I don't have a correction because I don't know what the difference is between the two. And then why it would use the higher number versus the GF revenue report. So that's why I'm asking. I don't know.
Well, it should reflect what was said.
Okay. What was said? The information in the packet, or your verbal information, which I don't recall what that was.
Unless you have something contrary, I think the number here is the number.
Well, can you pull up the packet from 622?
Yes, I can.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yes.
while that's being pulled up, is there a correction to the heavy trash pickup comment? Is it something that needs to be corrected?
Well, there's a typo in 8.6. That's an easy one.
Okay.
And then I have another question for Mr. Stone.
Okay.
The correct number is $857,831.18. That's what's reflected in the financial report on that day, and that's what's reflected in the minutes.
Okay, and that's on the dispersed total?
That is the property tax collected total year to date.
On the dispersed, the landscape sheet?
Yes, sir.
And now, if you look up in the general revenue, it says 833. 637.34.
I don't see that.
Okay, let's move on. I'll show you on tonight's packet. I have that one. I noticed that you're very verbose in the citizen comments, but you didn't put any information about discussing by council on the agenda items. For instance, why didn't you let people know? I mean, it's a pretty big change. Mr. Stanton's voters for 41 years, and they've never allowed livestock before, and yet you stated at the meeting that now you can have a dozen chickens, unlimited number of horses, unlimited number of pigs, unlimited number of cows. I would think that should be reflected in a minute, and that's not even reflected. It's just, you just put in there some discussion.
Well, that was no council action. The minutes reflect council action. There was no council action, and that's no change. That's what the city code is and has been.
Okay, even though you're very verbose in citizen comments.
Citizen comments are not items that are listed on the agenda.
Okay.
So more deference is given to the citizens' concerns and the citizens' comments. But you'll notice that, for example, when the police chief gives his report, his comments are in the minutes. Questions and answers that follow that are not. And the same is true of discussion with council. If there's discussion that changes the outcome of a motion, then it is reflected because it's part of the deliberation for council action. General discussion by council leads to no action is not put in the minutes.
Okay, thank you. So are there any corrections that need to be made to these meeting minutes, or are we okay with them?
Well, as I said, there's a typo in 8.6.
Okay, so that can be corrected, Mr. Stone.
What's the typo?
Well, it should be explained versus explained.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll correct 8.6. So I'll entertain a motion with the corrected minutes.
That's really just a clerical error that doesn't require an amendment.
Okay. So are we ready to have discussion again, or are we ready to vote?
You're ready for
vote. Okay. All in favor of these minutes with that amended item?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Nay.
Okay. 2-1 passes minutes.
And again, I get to explain my nay vote, right?
Your what?
I get to explain the nay vote, correct?
Sure.
Okay. The minutes as presented do not reflect the contents of that meeting. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to agenda item 4.2, regular council meeting July 13th, 2015. Council's had a chance to look those over. I'll entertain a motion on this one.
Motion to approve minutes.
Alderman Wheeler, second.
Second.
Who's that? Alderman Jennings. Okay. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. And next item, 5.0, council reports and requests. Mayor Moses, he's not here, but he asked me to give an update on the infamous sound wall. You may have heard pile driving over the weekend. There was a constant metronome sound. I could almost play my guitar along with it all day long. But they did say AT&T had some conduit issues that delayed things. But they are doing the pile driving now. And they, as of last Tuesday, of course, they said they're not going to set a completion date, but the drill shafts are in action. Also, the striping on northbound 146 frontage so you have more time to enter. That is in the works, and they're working on making that happen for a better, easier merge. There was another item about having a traffic light up here at 0146 and Schweitzer Boulevard, and that's being discussed again and still. So those are the updates from the mayor for me to read on that. Also, August 4th is the budget workshop. I believe that's a Tuesday evening. What time is it? 6 o'clock. Okay. And moving on to public hearings, public comments, 6.1, this opportunity for the public to address council or comment on items appear on the agenda. Time is limited to 5 minutes for speaker comments or to be directed to the city council. Dialogue with the audience is not permitted. Council members are prohibited by law from participating in discussion or deliberation of items not specifically identified on this agenda. So if you would come up and state your name and address, please, up here at the podium, and we can start on this end like the mayor does and go to the left.
I'm Neil Moyer in North Country Club Drive. I'm going to discuss an item that has come about as a result of my written testimony that was submitted at the last meeting. There are some people who seem to think, because they don't have the facts, that those comments were not received properly by the city. A website has cited something to this effect. I'll briefly read what it says. The city has code that determines when and how citizens may address council during meetings. The only time the city is allowed to address their opinions about agenda items is public comments or at the mayor's discretion during the agenda item discussion. The right to address the council when made available to cities is not just a First Amendment right, but is made available for all citizens and not just a select few. This was stated by Ron Hoskins on a website that's run by Councilman Jennings. It says, allowing an individual citizen to place in the council's meeting packet opinions about city items and not having a process for all citizens to do the same thing only creates further damage to this city's image. City council meeting packets are posted on the city's website and are public information, excluding executive session information. Posting a partial package is deceiving, contrary to the spirit of open government, and further damages our city's image. Well, the facts are very simply this. I knew that I was not going to be attending the council meeting that night since I had an appointment to pick up my wife at the airport. Therefore, I wrote down my thoughts, typed them up. Around midday on Monday, the day of the council meeting, I took them to City Hall and asked the city staff if they could make copies of my comments available to the mayor and the council members. I was asked whether they should be in the council packet. I said, no, I didn't think so, because the packet was packed, if you will, with 55 pages of one item, and I was pretty sure they would get lost in the shuffle, which, as I subsequently found out, apparently they did, because some people on the council didn't read them, even though they were in the packet. The point is, I did what any citizen, can do. That is, I brought my comments to City Hall. I asked them to be made available to the council members and the mayor. And that's all I did. And that's all I expected the city staff to do. And that's all that should have taken place. That they ended up in the council's packet is really largely immaterial. That was just a way of presenting it to the council members. I did not ask for that. I, in fact, specifically said that I didn't think that was necessary, given the volume of the council packet. So what bothers me is that people shoot their mouths off. People are allowed to shoot their mouths off without checking the facts. Now, I asked for an opportunity with Councilman Jennings to refute Ron Hoskins' allegations. And as of this point in time, I haven't been allowed to do that. So that's why I'm making this discussion here. So really, I think there are some people around here who are coming unstuck, to be perfectly honest. And it would be nice if they would just sort of get the facts first, check with the people who are involved, in my case,
And let's stop this nonsense. This is pointless. It accomplishes nothing. It's sort of like ripping scabs off all the time and not allowing anything to get accomplished. I'm sorry I had to take this time up tonight to do this. Otherwise, it would have taken what normally would be my First Amendment opportunities, but seeing as how the council member doesn't allow that on his website, I've had to present it tonight. Thank you very much.
Patrick.
Patrick Stanton, 128 Shady Lawn. Three years ago, there was a resolution passed, 2012-94, concerning the goals and governance plan for Shore Acres. And I would like to read a couple things that's in the City Council governance plan. The City Council of the City of Shore Acres will communicate honest opinions, clearly balancing goals with keeping the collective good in mind, soliciting feedback from others, professionally with civil decorum, respectfully and lawfully. And since we're going to discuss communications on 8.5 tonight, there also is an area of emphasis on communications. It says strategies. Develop a communication system for citizens and area marketing opportunities. Prepare a State of the City report by the mayor for distribution to citizens and other interested parties. Prepare and provide a PowerPoint presentation to assist in the marketing efforts of the city. Prepare talking points for mayor and council members to be able to respond to issues uniformly across the city, including a list of improvements recently undertaken. Educate and provide tours to realtors on benefits of and opportunities with the city. Promote the Houston Yacht Club as an amenity within the city and as location for marketing the availability of the lots within the city. Develop information on cost of living in Shore Acres compared to other areas, other cities in the area. Do termite education, acknowledging the specific type termite issue they have. Okay, the next issue I'd like to speak on is the Miramar Shoreline Restoration and Improvement Study, which kind of collates with the talk tonight. The first meeting was held on April 2nd, 2014. I think the city had decided upon the riprap revetment type solution to the problem. And as I understood, this committee was going to get approval from the Corps of Engineers and was going to seek different grants. It said and an advisory group was formed, and it encompassed people from all parts of the city as well as the Houston Yacht Club. It said that the advisory group would meet a minimum of 6 times annually. Now, it also said that this group is going to expire on December 30th, 2015. So I think it would be nice if the group would give council and the citizens a progress report. The mayor indicated, I talked to the mayor about this, that he thought that they were waiting on BP funds to see if we can tap into that. And that's fine, but I wonder what plan B is. So I think it'd be nice if, I think J.O. is the chairman, if J.O. or his designee could give the council a presentation to tell us where that lies. The last thing I want to talk about is the heavy trash pickup, which is going to be covered by Mr. Stahl on 7.11. I understand that there were some piles that were picked up. Apparently my street was missed. I have a pile of limbs that are 60 feet long and 5 feet high. Is on the city right-of-way for the extension of Southbrook. And also limbs adjacent to the new road that was prepared were thrown to the side, was never picked up. And that also prevents drainage when we have a lot of rain, which we had earlier this year. Thank you.
Diane?
Diane Victor, 3346 Miramar. Our favorite topic, trash. I want to thank the mayor for his calls because he did get almost all of the heavy trash piles picked up except a few. And most of those, when I'm riding around, I see that they're around vacant lots. So maybe there's a correlation because it's other places there's still trash that are in the vacant lots. Some homeowners have piled them over there rather than pile them in front of their house. So we did make a headway with the trash. However, that was last week. However, by this weekend, just my driving to go to the park and to go to the yacht club and around, I counted 15 piles, big piles of trash. On Meadow Lawn, there were two huge piles. One was a total fence put out there. The other one was a big pile of trash and then a mattress piled on top of it. And the new construction now on Baywood, they've got a dumpster in there and they've put wood in that, but they've started a separate pile by the old tree stump out by the road of other stuff other than wood. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just at my wit's end trying to figure out how to get people not to put their trash out all the time. I did notice on the way to Heron Park that several homeowners have taken the palm fronds and things and cut them into them, put them in the trash can, or they bundled them and they put them out, and I went and checked, and the trash people picked all of those up. So in addition to whatever we do with the heavy trash pickup, whether we stop it or we continue to do that, maybe somehow we can get the citizens to start managing these small bundles of trash, like the palm fronds and the stuff that constantly comes. Put them in trash cans, tie them up, just something, and put them out there so that the weekly trash people will pick it up. And it'll just help improve the looks of the city so much. And it then allows people, when they're mowing the ditches or anything like that, the trash is gone so they're not having to mow around it and the weeds aren't going up through it. And it'll just make short acres look a lot better. And I appreciate all you've done. I just, maybe we can put it in the water bill, encourage people to bundle or put it in the trash can or something so that they know there's another option besides just taking and making a big pot and putting it out there. And thank you all.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good, you?
Good. My name's Carl Heinixon. I live in the 1,000 block of Short Acres Boulevard. And I have a couple questions, if I could. For the last couple of months, and the last most recent was Thursday night, our houses, cars, entire property is getting covered in a white powder. Almost looks like a detergent, a dry detergent is what it looks like. Friday morning, I drove down to the police station and showed the police chief. I don't know how wide it spread, but I know across the street and two of them to the side of me, we're all getting covered in this stuff. It's happened four times. The last recent was Thursday night. I was going to see if who can we talk to. I've been in the chemical plant business. When we upset the neighbors, we took care of it. I don't know who is responsible for keeping on top of that. Anita used to live here, if y'all remember Anita. She took care of business. I called her. She's in Conroe right now and straightening out their water issue. So, I with her gone, I don't know where to look to. Or who could help me, or I did talk to the sheriff this morning, or the police chief, pardon me, and gave me a phone number. I'm going to try to call tomorrow. But we're having to, you know, get this off the vehicles immediately. Can't get it off the house, but it is covering us. And I know, I've already gone over here to Oddfell's and the one in front of it. And, of course, they said, we're all liquids. We don't even have anything dry. But somebody's putting something on us. And they need to be responsible for cleaning this mess up because it's terrible. I don't know if it's getting affecting anybody else in here.
That's why I'm here.
Here's some of the other people. But so anyway, that was one thing. And the other thing I want to bring up is water pressure. I built here in 2002. I don't know if the newer homes or the older homes, I'll speak for myself. But they're killing that water pressure at all different times at this water plant. And I mean, it just dribbles out of your faucet, your showers. I was told when they were repairing a hole quite some time back on Shorter's Boulevard, they said, well, all these pipes are so old, if we leave it up, they're going to pop everywhere. So when it's in its least usage, we're cutting that thing back. I don't know who's in charge of that or whatever, but it is. If you got a shower late at night, or where I live anyway, you know, I got a lot of real estate. It takes a long time to get all this wet. And it's terrible. You know, it really is. And I don't know if it's a problem in the ground with the pipes that, you know, you can't crank it up if nobody's using it. I don't know what the problem it is, but I know I'm experiencing it. I don't know if anybody else is, but it is really, in my neighborhood, it's not very good. I wanted to throw those out.
Okay.
Thank you.
David, can we talk about the pressure problem, maybe a contact for the white powder? Find out where that white powder is coming from.
My name's Leslie Rowe. I'm with 1010 Shore Acres Boulevard, and that's why I'm here tonight, too, because I was concerned that the white powder all over my vehicles, all over my house, my plants, and also, as well, my water pressure. We water early in the morning and late in the evening about this time, and I noticed when we're watering, it just our water pressure goes away, but it'll come back eventually. But that's my biggest concern, was that white powder all over my vehicles. And two Saturdays ago, I went and had my truck washed and detailed. Sunday morning, it was back on it, and it's still on my truck. So I didn't know what it was. I don't know what it is today. So, but it did concern me, and all my plants and stuff we've been trying to buy and put up, been having little problems getting that. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. But that's why I'm here tonight as well, for the white collar.
Let's see if we can narrow that down, perhaps.
All right, thank you.
So I have a comment?
Sure. David Garza, 3419 West Mighty Drive. When I moved in, there was a leak. I'm right here on the corner of West Mighty Drive and Shore Acres Boulevard. It's been there 10 years since I've been there. I don't know if that's a problem. I was just here about the white powder. They were discussing the water pressure. I was told that that line is so far down that they don't want, or it's going to be too expensive to repair. However, if you walk by that stop sign in my house and that have a little dog sign that holds my address, that's there to let the family know, my daughters and them know, don't go past that, because if you do, you're going to go in about 4.5 inches of mud. I keep the grass mowed there. You can drive by right now, you can see where the lawnmower tracks are there. But that has been there for 10 years. If somebody could look into maybe repairing that, it would help these people out. I have fine water pressure, but I might be at the beginning of the line. I don't know. But that water leak has been there for 10 years. If you can go back at least three council meetings when I first moved in, they were brought up. So, but nothing was ever done, and I exhausted all avenues. And just bringing that up as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Alicia?
Alicia
Ramos,
3416 Sunrise Drive. And I'm always complaining about my lovely critter neighbors, the snakes and all that sort of stuff. As far as the delinquent taxes go, I'm not sure how the city handles you know, for like a lot next to. I know like a long, long time ago, you know, the city would take the lot and then they would like auction it off or do something, I believe, along that line to where like a citizen or, you know, a fellow resident could buy it. You know, like they would pay the back taxes and then, you know, it'd be like city land. I know y'all were talking a while back about how it would go to like the school district and then it goes to so-and-so and then so-and-so. But I seriously, not to say I really want the lot beside me, but it's to only really get rid of the critters that is migrating my way. And then I know the elderly couple behind me, they get like coons and stuff, and they mow as far as they can in. I don't deal with snakes, you know, I hire mowers. They won't mow it because it's not my lot. But just to see what we could do to at least get, you know, 2 to 3 feet off of that fence line, you know, like the side easement, you know, just a little relief because I can't handle, you know, some of Mother Nature's creatures, you know, but snakes are rats. So if we can just figure out, like, how to, like, I don't know if it's, like, tax foreclosure or something or what we can do to, you know, say, hey, you know, since you haven't paid your lot, you know, your taxes in, like, say, 4 or 5 years, what we can do to take over and go from there. Thanks.
Nope. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah.
Doris Ralph, 15 Shore Acres School Board. I wanted to see about what we could do about possibly looking at changing the speed limit on Shore Acres from 0146. It's a racetrack. I can't even go out and check my mail. I have to make sure no one's coming because they will not get over and they will fly right past you. Even trying to sweep the streets or get our golf cart to go to the nearest road to get off the Shore Acres. These people don't care. They will run you over. And us having golf carts, and we're in a golf cart community, I think that should be proposed where we meet that standard where we're not having to go to the nearest street. So anything y'all could look into that for.
You're talking about from 0146 west?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
40 miles an hour now, right?
Yes, sir. And they go 50 and 60. Right. It's a racetrack. That's no lie. No exaggeration either.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Okay, moving on to 7.0 administrative report. The administrator.
Good evening. First, let me share with you that Chief Harrison informed me today of the complaint of the white powder. That was the first I had heard of that, but hopefully it's something that's new. Our best resource for that is Harris County Pollution Control Services. They do air quality. They've been very responsive in the past and have sent people out to do sampling even. They have a monitor, an air quality monitor, that's at the end of old 146 that you can see down there. Their phone number is 713-920-2831, and I'll put that on the city website tomorrow so you can go there and look for that and have that as a resource for you. That would be what we would do as well, so we're just really not equipped to sample and see what is getting on the vehicles, and that should be done. The other thing I'd mention on the water pressure, we have had some booster pump issues off and on as we've been finalizing the acceptance of the plant. And I tell you that a lot of what I heard tonight is not the case. We are running at a higher pressure. We've raised the pressure from 50 psi to 60 psi. We run that every day, all day. We do have a pressure drop that occurs just prior to midnight and goes until about 4:30 in the morning. And that's a period of time in which we refill the surface tanks that we have right here next to Public Works. There's no water source there. We pull it off the system. So we boost from Bioforest to this plant, and we drop to about 35 PSI during that period of time. The section of Shore Acres Boulevard should be one of our strongest, best pressured lines. It's between the two plants and benefits from both. So the pressure issues are news to me. I'll pass that along to Public Works, and we'll see if we can help troubleshoot that for you and find out what that issue is. There shouldn't be any problem with pressure. Now, if you are getting it, if you're a flat worker and you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to take your shower, I get up at 4:30 myself. So if that's you, then that would explain why you have low pressures, because while we're filling those tanks. But after that, after the tanks are full, then we go right back to 60 PSI and we do that all day. Mr. Garza, we've had some issues over there in that water line on the bio side of your street. It was very deep. We had to hire a contractor to do that. This is complete news to me that we've had a long-term slow.
I'm on the other side of where you're working.
Pardon?
I'm on the other side of where you're working.
I understand that, and that's why it's all news to me that you've got any issue on that side of the street.
Okay.
So we'll jump on that and see what the issue is. We don't have the same concerns about working on that side of the street line because we don't have the same problems we have with the bio. The bio causes unique problems. So we'll take a look at that and see what's going on. It has been 10 years. We've had a lot of changes in public works and personnel, so we'll see what we can do about that.
The grass likes it. So.
Pardon?
The grass loves it right there.
Yeah. Put a willow tree there.
Okay.
We'll fix the line. But I do know that it's an AC, it's a asbestos concrete line, and it's very fragile. So we'll do that gingerly and see what needs to be done. The first item I have, 7.1.1, is the heavy trash pickup program. We now have two different contractors. We have our regular residential pickup contractor who is doing heavy pickup once a month and has been unreliable. We have hired a second contractor who, right out of the gate, their first time was this month, July, and on the first Monday in July, their equipment was down and in the shop, and so they got a staggered start. Everybody tells me that they're all queued up and they're ready to hit the road and knock it out in August. I sincerely hope that's the case. The public works crew went out with city vehicles and picked up from four or five locations to get some of the long-term stuff that's been problematic and caused drainage problems, some of which they just relocated to the public works building until we can get it hauled off. We feel your pain. We did have a pile of trash that was at the far east end of the city that we received some complaints on, and we went and tried to help out with that, and we hauled that material off, and we filled the truck and had to go back to get the last of it. And when we returned, we discovered that a contractor working at that property had opened a gate and was unloading the backyard back out and restacking a huge pile. We do not take up material that you contract with somebody to do work. They're responsible for hauling it off. And so we took city time and resources to move stuff to a landfill that contractors should have been doing. So we're trying to also get a grip on that. Perhaps it's time we put in the utility bill again, what we do pick up and what we don't pick up, so that we don't have people putting stuff out there that is just adding to what's not getting picked up. 7.1.2, Circle Park, still is playground equipment. We've replaced chains on one of the swings that had been vandalized. These are PVC, a flexible PVC dipped chain, so that small children don't get their fingers caught in the chain. It's yellow, easy to see. We've got those in now. They've been replaced. We've replaced the nets on the basketball goals for the second time. The first time didn't make it more than a couple days. We're hoping to get a little longer this time. In the council packet, I had shared previously with council that the cost of replacement parts for the equipment was very high, and now I've got some quotes. These are not quotes for the game time. It's not for purchase, but you can see that the one crawl tube, just that one three-section crawl tube that was on the playground equipment, the replacement cost for that, not installed, is $2,457.61, and that's just for the parts. As I previously told council, we elected to remove the tube and to have Ben Zwanger cut us circular plexiglass to put at the ends of those, and that will allow the play equipment to be back into service just without a tube to crawl through there. That was substantially less expensive. We really are at the point with that equipment, it's at the age where it's constant trying to stay ahead of it. If you saw that 10 years ago when I arrived, it was almost twice the size that it is now. As pieces fail and are removed and made safe, it's shrinking and it's slowly going away. Replacing it with what was there 15 years ago would run in the range of about $70,000. There is some additional work that's being done on that to continue to make it safe, but by and large, it's back in service. On the back side of that packet is the cost for replacing the chain link fence. Again, this is for budget consideration, and I'm not sure that we'll be able to squeeze this in this fiscal year. But to replace the backstop, just the one run, is $1,660. We replace the whole end, and this is the chain link that faces where we park when you come off of Park Drive to Park Circle off of Shore Acres Boulevard. That was damaged. It was damaged in Ike and then has had some additional damage. If you were to replace the entire end, just the chain link, not the poles, you're talking $1,942. And that's just for your information and understanding what some of the cost issues are there. Yes, sir.
This is the chain link on the tennis court?
Yes, sir. Yeah. And it is it also is a PVC coated chain link, which is this is preferable. It's a green chain link. 7.1.3, voluntary park donation program. That has been doing very well. We continue to get donations in. As of today, we have deposited $655 in contributions towards the park. Those are for purchases, expenditures that are authorized by council. At present, there's nothing on that list. In other words, the money's being collected and council will decide where that money goes. That gives you an opportunity to come to council and tell them where you might want to see that money go. As you can see, things are expensive, so we'll need to get some more in there. But I would comment that we have raised $655 and put that in the bank, and the budget number for the year was extremely conservative. But even so, it was $500. And so in a month and a half, we have raised what we might have raised in a year at what we thought might be $2 or $3 contribution. I think the average contribution has been about $20. So that's very good.